You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. And in today's episode, our guest will be talking about how she became an accidental investor at 20 years old while in college.
That's right, Charles. Today, she'll also share her journey of starting with a house hack and then becoming an out-of-state investor, and also how she helps others become financially free through real estate. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Hi, everyone. It's Charles Rose Jr. with Breakthrough Investor, where we help you break through that next level as an investor. And with me always is my amazing co-host, William Palmer. He is an awesome guy. He's an investor. He's a coach and so many amazing things. William, brother, how fantastic are you doing today?
I am doing great as always, Charles. Really happy you could make it. I know you had some like a thunderstorm going on and lost power for a little bit. So hopefully you'll be here for this whole podcast and get to interview this amazing guest with me.
Absolutely, man. I'm so excited to be here and I'm so glad I made it. Like, literally, like the power came on like 1 minute before the scheduled interview. So I'm so glad that I get to be here. And if I get kicked off, I know that our guest is in great hands with you, William.
Well, I appreciate it, but I always like having you on the show. But yeah, today's interview ought to be really awesome. She's a real estate investor and an agent, and she's based out of Nashville, Tennessee, which you like Nashville, you like Tennessee. So this should be interesting. You might have some really good questions for her.
Absolutely. I just love the state of Tennessee. I do not invest in Nashville yet, but I do invest in Memphis, Tennessee. And so I'd love to invest in Nashville. Those prices are so high, but maybe she may have some tips on how I can get some properties in the Nashville area.
And yeah, she'll take anything, right?
I know, right? Like she has like 10 rental units across four states, man. I'm like super excited to learn just like how she did it, man.
No, 100%. And like she uses several different strategies, which is great. Like for me, because I have a couple of different strategies, property types that I use. So it's always very interesting to hear why or how other people are using different strategies. Like she does buy and hold for long-term units, midterm rentals, fix and flips. And the big thing that's really interesting to me is she does full gut remodels. So for a lot of people, that's like I don't want to do that kind of thing because that's really stressful. So I'm really curious on how does she manage that? And then like, does she end up selling most of them, keeping them as long terms? But really interested in diving into that.
Same here, man, William. But what I really, really love about today's guest is she's not just in this for herself. Like she has a heart to help people. She has a heart to empower people to achieve home ownership. And also, she want to help them be successful real estate investors. So not only be a homeowner, but how to provide housing for others and achieve that financial freedom through real estate opportunities. So I am so excited, William. Help me introduce our guest today, Marissa Contreras. Marissa, how wonderful are you doing today?
I'm so good. I'm so grateful to be here.
That's awesome. We're glad to have you.
Yeah. So we are, like William and I, like we were super excited to hear, you know, all of our guests. But, you know, you were recommended by Sarah Weaver.
And we were like,
you know, we know she's going to be good. We know she's going to be awesome. So tell our audience more about you, how you get started in real estate and what made you want to invest.
I'm so grateful. Man, I hope I hold up to the introduction. That was pretty incredible. It's nice to hear it from another perspective. So thanks for all of that. I did love how you hit on, you know, me wanting to help others because I really do truly mean that. I mean, you can make some good money in real estate and that's awesome, but just the simple fact of people becoming homeowners, that was a big reason why I became an agent because I like investing more. I love being an agent. But I really enjoy investing also. But, you know, I got a few family members into houses, just convincing them to become homeowners because it could be really intimidating. And if they're only hearing horror stories, then I also would not be excited about buying a house. So that's a really amazing part of what I get to do. And I'm so grateful to be able to do it. But with real estate, man, it was a weird journey because they don't tell us that real estate is an option. Like, I mean, I guess every profession is an option and it's out there. But, you know, when I was looking into college, there's not a lot of real estate in college. And so I went on to get a business degree in business administration. And I'm so grateful that I did it, but I can't help but think what I would have done if I would have started in real estate before even going to college. That would have been amazing. But I think all of us are like, you know, I should have done it earlier. I should have done it sooner, whatever. And it's like the earliest we could do is today. So what I did was early on, I had the opportunity to buy a house. And so I did. And that definitely was an amazing opportunity. And it worked out so well for me. And I actually ended up being a house hacker before that was even a word, you know? So like,
did it happen by accident?
No, I did it intentionally, but I think it was more, I don't think I knew that I was like going to be able to make like a really good amount of money. I just wanted to get a house full of girls together at the age of 20. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. I bought this house and I house hacked and I had three other girls living with me. And, you know, that basically made, I had to put in a little bit, but it made my mortgage. So that was amazing. You know, wow. We lived together for a while. So that was house hacking essentially. And then I lived in that house for a couple of years, house hacking some of the time. And then it honestly became like, I realized I didn't really need it anymore because it was kind of a big house to be, you know, using. And honestly, I saw the rental rates in the area. I'm from Temecula, California. So the rental rates were well over what my mortgage was at the time. I entered in 2011. So that was just like after, you know, the crash, mm-hmm. things like that. So I moved in with my mom and that was awesome. She was single. I was single and we were just two girls living in a house, but that was also very helpful for me financially. So I did that for a couple of years and then ended up buying another property to try to do a flip. And that was in 2016. And it freaked me out because, you know, it's never successful the first time. So I did that, bought the property in 2016, got a contractor, did the whole thing. I was very ambitious. I did the gut remodel, you know, with the hard money loan, thinking like just doing whatever I could to get it done. And I didn't know a lot about it, but I had a lender on my side that was kind of like helping me. He really helped me in the beginning of my journey. And I ended up needing to refinance into a, you know, just like a regular loan and then get a renter in there just to make my money back. And basically I waited for the appreciation. So I waited just 2 years, they rented it, and then I was able to sell it and break even. But that was in 2016. And it kind of turned me away from investing. Like I definitely was discouraged and I didn't invest again for another, I think it was 3 years when I bought the next house.
Why do you jump right into a flip? Like what were you seeing? Like obviously the potential upsides, but why a full flip?
I appreciate that. I don't know what I was thinking, to be fair, but I did love remodels and I feel like that's where my creativity is, where I get to like totally gut remodel a house. And this was a really cheap house and it needed a gut remodel. And I thought I had a great contractor. I didn't go into the details, but it was the contractor. It's always the contractor. It was the contractor. You know, he did crappy work and there was just problem after problem with the house, but it was very ambitious of me. So I was definitely an accidental investor with that first property. And then this one, I was trying to be more, you know, thoughtful or intentional about what I was doing. But I don't want to say I didn't know enough because I learned a lot of lessons and I actually ended up breaking even, but I made no money. And it was very scary to throw a bunch of money at something and then just like walk away with it. I'm like walking with my bags and like, I don't want to do this again, you know?
Marissa, like, so I'm glad you mentioned that. Like, that's a topic that we really didn't touch on with any of our guests yet is mm-hmm. the contractors, right? And these deals. And, you know, with this show, you know, the name of it is Breakthrough Investor, breaking through those barriers, obstacles, all those things. And I know that, you know, dealing with some contractors could be an issue, right? William is a contractor mm-hmm. himself, so he knows how other contractors are. He probably cleaned up behind some other people, you know, too. And so tell us, let's really dig deep into that, because I know people who personally messed up in that area, or maybe somebody's listening right now and they're like, oh my goodness, I'm in the same shoe as Marissa. I'm trying to get out of the situation with a contractor. Like, Tell us some of your lessons learned from that situation. Like, what did you learn from that? And how has that made you a better investor?
Oof, man. I'm so grateful you asked that question, because it's really important as an investor to be able to, you know, get through these. I wish I would have kept investing, but the contractor basically, you know, it was my first deal and my first remodel, and he did shoddy work and I didn't speak up, and I knew it at the time. I knew that, you know, like the tile, I know what tile is supposed to look like, and like the grout would be thick and then go thin, and it was like crooked. I mean, it was bad. It was pretty bad. And then the, you know, he didn't move the laundry where he said he would move it. And then so once he did move it, he was in and out of the house in like 20 minutes. And I'm like, wait a minute, what happened here? That was a whole saga that I won't go into. But he didn't do good work, and I knew it. But I also, this, like I said, this was my first remodel, and I'm thinking, oh, this guy knows better than me. Not to mention that, you know, I'm in my mid 20s and this guy is like 45, 50 or whatever. I just assumed that he knew better. I didn't speak up. And then by the time I spoke up, it was too late, because I had handed him the check. And I remember, I'll never forget this, I was walking up to the house to verify that everything was done, and the first thing I did was hand him the check.
Yeah.
Don't do that. So I should have looked over the whole house, mentioned the things that were wrong, and also really advocated for myself, and then held the last check until it was right. You know, but I was too scared, because I knew that that would make him have to literally rip out the tile and retile it. So I didn't want to be like annoying, but when you pay for a job, you want it done right. And I've also had, like, what he told me was, when I got to this house, it was like basically a big mess, and look at what I've done for it. And he kind of like berated me. And, you know, I listened to him and I kind of backed down. It doesn't matter what condition the house was in. What matters is the quality of work that you give. You wouldn't give better quality to a house that's just okay compared to ones that's like totally crap. So I did get back into real estate fairly quickly after that, but it definitely was a massive learning lesson in really speaking up for myself and then trusting my gut. If I knew something looked wrong and it was bad, I don't need to pay for it, you know?
Yeah. So how did you make that shift, like, to get back into real estate? What type of real estate? Did you have any coaching? Did you listen to podcasts, read books? What was the next avenue?
Wow. So
also, too, I really want to stress those points. That's a great question, William asked, but I just want to I want our listeners to hear what she did, like really listen and write it down. Speak up and trust your gut, because that is something that is so, I mean, that is so big for a lot of people, you know, not speaking up. So thank you for mentioning that. That's really, really good. All right. I didn't mean to interrupt, William.
I heard him. And you know, I'll say to that point too, like, you don't need to be afraid of that. And also, don't beat yourself up when you're not able to speak up or whatever it may be. Because I know there's still situations to this day. I had a conversation today about two different things that I'm doing in my business around speaking up, and it's still really, really difficult. I mean, I, you know, this is not something that will work for everybody, but for me, writing out the conversation before I actually have it is also very helpful, so that I could just get my confidence. Say it in front of the mirror. Nobody's going to hear you. Mm-hmm. Like, just make sure that you know intuitively what you need to do. But when you asked about the learning material, I think that's actually kind of a really interesting part of my journey, is that I tell people this. Now this is a mistake. I don't think anybody should do this, but I didn't really consume very much knowledge until the end of 2022. Can you imagine that? So before that, I basically would like talk to people in real estate, but I hadn't met my first real investor that knew what they were doing. And to be honest, I'm still cleaning up the mess of my bookkeeping being messy, which, come to find out, it's a lot of people's problem. So I'm still cleaning up the mess. Yeah, the bookkeeping being messy, you know, the taxes not being filed like in the most strategic way, and really, like, you know, structure on protection of my properties and stuff like that. I'm still cleaning up that mess because I didn't meet my first true investor. Am I allowed to, like, I'll just say it, at Bigger Pockets Con, which I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, cool. So at Bigger Pockets, I met my first true investors in the end of 2022. And that's when I dived in and really got into all the nitty gritty. Before that, I was really working closely with my lender and doing the best I could. So I'm kind of amazed that I got as far as I did, to be honest, because I am not advocating for that. If there is a new listener on here, which maybe, you know, there probably is a few, consume all the knowledge you can. There's so much free stuff out there. I mean, I am Sarah Weaver's mentee, and every dime on that is spent so well, but there's so much free knowledge. You know, the books, if you don't read books, the Audibles, and if you don't do that, YouTube videos, Facebook groups have been great for me. And then, you know, for new investors, if you're in like an area where you can do this, go to every meetup in person that you can. And then stick to the ones that you like, and then you can fall back on the ones that you don't enjoy. But it's definitely not something I advocate. But yeah, I was really just doing the best I could and reading every contract I signed. And it was really intense.
All like 60 wow. pages?
Yeah. And it was in California. So it was a lot of pages. Other states, but.
Right. Oh my gosh. That's so amazing how you mentioned the learning journey. Because, you know, and I think it's so important to really go that route. Like I've, William, I don't know if you did another route, but even before I, you know, got mentored with Dustin, I was trying to do that route on my own. But then I stopped and I realized, I was like, I've attempted several businesses and they all failed or just didn't do as good as I thought they were going to be. Right. And I realized the one common theme of me going at it on my own. Now, yeah. Some people were fortunate enough to do it on their own and become successful. But, you know, for a lot of us like me, when I did it on my own, it wasn't successful. And so that's so true. What you mentioned is literally like having that mentor, having that education, having those resources are so powerful. So
yeah, I don't know if I would have gotten started on my own if I didn't pay for Dustin's coaching mm-hmm. at Master Passive Income. Like, I probably would not be where I'm at if I hadn't paid for that originally. I'm one of those people. I will go out and do things on my own, but I don't like recreating the wheel. So if there's a great way for me to do that, even if I'm spending money to not make mistakes or make new mistakes, maybe some other people haven't made.
Right.
By listening to mentors, I'm all about that.
Yeah. There's one I missed too. Listen to podcasts. Sorry that I wanted to make sure to put that plug in. Also listening to podcasts.
Yes, absolutely. And our guests, you know, they're listening to you right now. So I think you have, you know, the guests right now, they're already doing that. So now they just need to encourage their friends and family to listen, right?
Yes, for real. Yeah. Anybody that's into real estate, the resources out there are endless. And, you know, it doesn't, I always say, like, you're investing all of your, you got to invest the time, but you don't have to pay for a degree, which is amazing. So be a little bit like, I'm very frugal. And I think that's also been a good way to get me to where I am. But I think that also being intentional about like how you spend your money, like, for instance, you know, we're going to these mentorship programs. I don't know how much yours costs. I won't say how much mine costs, but let's just say it could cost anywhere from a couple thousand to, you know, quite a bit more than that for these mentorship programs. And I really had to decide, like, how much is it worth to be able to invest in real estate? How much would a degree have cost me? You know, like, I mean, I'm not saying throw your money away, but be willing to spend a little bit of money. With the way that my business has grown, I'm actually going to be hiring a tax strategist. And I have to look at the number and not be afraid now that it's, you know, a little bit further down the road. Of course, at the beginning, I say, get all the free material you can and talk to people. Somebody said, don't ever listen to somebody that doesn't have what you want. And I really liked that saying, because that way, in a more positive light, when I hear somebody that has what I want, like maybe multiple homes, and they look like they have a good business and are morally sound, my ears open wide, you know, and I try to connect with them on a deeper level.
Yeah, I'll throw out definitely along with podcasts is, like you mentioned, BBCon and like RubeCon conferences, real estate conferences, things that are going to open your mind to like the possibilities and the potential of things that you've never even thought of.
Oh, yeah.
In the field that you want to be in.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And oh, man. But Marissa, you're definitely my sister from another mister, just so you know.
Like, I love it. You
know, I literally just said the same thing to a friend of mine today. I told him, I was like, you know, you have to listen to people who are where you want to be or who achieve that success that you want. Literally, same thing I just said maybe an hour ago on the phone.
I love it.
So that is so true, because, you know, so many people, they follow all of these instant YouTube stars or, you know, just random people who may not. And this same thing applies to almost anything in life, right? If you want, you know, if you need relationship advice, should you take it from somebody who has, you know, a lot of bad experiences, relationships, and, right? Or whatever it is in life. And so that's a really cool point. So that, thank you for sharing that. You're just sharing all of the, you're just dropping the nuggets.
Well, I really, listen, you guys are too, because it's so true. You know, it's the same thing. Like you said, there's this saying that's like, you can go to people that will co-sign your crap, basically. They say it in a different way, but you know, that will co-sign what you want to do in relationships. Say you're like dating, you know, a loser, and you know who to go to hear like, oh, you know, just forgive them. And then you know who to go to that's going to be like, listen, we got to cut it, you know, and we got to get to the, you know, cut to the chase here. And in real estate, it's like, come with your, you know, with your questions. Like I said, these Facebook groups, they're free and people are very willing to help. I think in real estate, what I love too is like how supportive the community is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like when you find out that you have an investor in your same town, you're going to hold on to your deals. You're going to connect because you're going to be like, listen, if I'm going to pass on this deal, I'll call you and let you know that there's a deal. So the people
that won't pass that deal on or don't want to help you are the people you don't want to be around anyway.
Yeah.
So just don't be around them.
That's
for everybody. Like,
yeah. That is so true. That is enough for everyone. And I mean, William can tell you too, just like how you mentioned, you know, like there's so much people that are willing to help you, whether it's, you know, free or paid, it's a good investment. But like, you know, just like going to RubeCon, right, William, mm-hmm. the Real Estate Builders Conference, like you have experts all from, you know, from all different walks in the industry. Sarah Weaver is there, you know, Dustin Hine, mm-hmm. so many different people, Marco, so many people are there, and they are literally like, they literally mentor people for free at this event. Like people pay thousands of dollars or even hundreds of dollars an hour just to be coached by all of these experts. And they are just, they're just willing to give. So it's so important to put yourself around the right people. Right. And there's no excuses to say you don't have any money. You can either, you can find a way to get that money or start right where you can with a podcast, with a free meetup or an event that you can afford. So yeah, that's good stuff.
I love the stuff that you're saying. And too, just for a plug with people, because I know money is a big deal for everybody, but you know, you could be a volunteer at those events too. If you get in enough, you could be a volunteer at those events and you get the ticket for free. And then, you know, I think it's also like, don't be afraid to be heard, because I know when I came in, I had already had a couple properties, but like I said, I hadn't connected and I hadn't plugged into the community. And by the way, my business, my real estate, everything skyrocketed after that. But I remember at the 2022 BPCon, I was scared to speak up. I was scared to ask questions. I was scared to state what I thought about real estate because I thought I didn't know enough. And it's like, don't be afraid to let, you know, this is something. Don't be afraid to like, let your voice be heard. Ask the stupid questions, get the chuckle, get the scoff. You don't want to be around those people anyway. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to be like, what about this? And then they're going to tell you, like you guys said, you know, they're going to think of something that you hadn't thought before. And three brains are better than one, you know, and
100%.
If you got a zillion.
Yeah, 100%. And like, I can speak for RubeCon. I've actually never been to any other conference besides RubeCon, and Lord willing, I'll never miss one. But conferences are phenomenal. You meet some great people. You meet also people that will fund your deals and things like that. But really, this is a relationship business. It's not. Yes, the deal needs to make sense. You need to make money. It has to produce. But at the same time, you work with these people long enough, you'll be able to call them and say, I've got this deal. It's a little bit maybe sketchy or something like this, but this is what I want to do. And you've built that reliability and that relationship and you've maintained it. So that makes you more valuable in a way. They're willing to go out on a limb to help you even more. And so that's a great thing. But kind of circling back, so house number two, you flipped it and all that other stuff. Now, why'd you get back into it? You got over that hurdle of almost losing money. What was the next step?
So for me, going a little bit back, when I got my business degree and stuff, I was working with kids. So I was working at a youth center and I loved it. It was very fulfilling, very cool. But I still found myself on like open houses on Saturday, just looking at the houses. And I didn't realize it was weird until my mom was like, I was like, there's an open house. And she was like, okay, like in the car with me. And she's like, what does that mean? I didn't realize that like that was my ideal Saturday, literally was going and looking at open houses. So I really loved houses. I still had that lender in my back pocket. He was a lender and also an agent. So I would talk to him about deals and stuff like that. And then there was a deal that popped up in my area, pool and spa, single family home, you know, it was $350 in California. Can you imagine? And so, that was, I mean, it was beautiful. and I needed a primary, you know, because I was living with my mom at the time. So I bought that house as a primary, again, like kind of stumbling into still being an accidental investor. And then that one I lived in for a while and ended up also being a rental property. And then really when it started to snowball was a couple years later, right actually before 2022. So this in 2021, I ended up selling one of my California properties, the first one I bought, and I sold it for $810,000. And I had bought it for $4,000. So I rolled over all that money, not to mention, you know, literally a decade of getting the mortgage paid by renters. And then I bought two properties in Tennessee. And honestly, that's when it started to snowball and I start to really become an investor because, you know, using the 1031, I did that. And then the rents, you know, I was cash flowing already like $1,500 on one property and around like $7,000 on the other property. So I was like, this is how you make your mortgage, you know, and your expenses, you make money. So
every time somebody does that, they're like, they have that. I think of the movie. What is it? The Minions movie. You have Gru and he goes light bulb. That's what I think of every time.
Yeah. Most recent one, I just watched it.
I have it. My kids would probably love it.
I'm like, I went as an adult, but nonetheless, it was great. So it was a light bulb moment, you know, and then I had met a couple more people in real estate because I had moved some money to Nashville or the outskirts of Nashville at that time, which I saw Franklin. And I was like, if anybody knows Franklin, Tennessee, it's like a very affluent area. And I got like a really beautiful property with, you know, it was $450,000, but it was a $1,500 mortgage payment and it rented for $3,000. So, I mean, I was starting to make real money. Yeah. And then, you know, I went in with a partner for my fourplex in Vegas. That was awesome. That's actually when I transitioned into, well, that's when I started to consider managing myself because I did get a crappy property manager that lost us a lot of money. And, you know, it's a fourplex in a D neighborhood. So I kept a property manager. I found a better one. Network starts to grow. That's great. You know, then econ and meeting a lot of new people there, getting into Sarah's program made me basically have the confidence to be able to like start self-managing. And so I started to roll into that. And since then did another 1031 with one of those properties. I moved out to Tennessee, did another 1031, brought two more properties, got remodeled one of those, got remodeled the one back in 2021 that I bought with the first 1031. So I know I'm hopping around, but it really did snowball at that time. And I think, you know, the earlier you can get in, the better. I know people are talking about right now how it's a crappy time to buy and things like that. But, you know, get your team on your side and have people and ask the questions. And there's still deals out there, maybe not in the market that you would love. But we all know now you don't have to own where you live. So,
and that's such a hard thing for people to grasp.
Yeah. That is so true. That's so true. Now I know we're winding close to the end, but I think our audience are going to want to hear, how do you help other people become successful real estate investors and become financially free? Let's talk about that some more. I think they want to hear that.
I mean, it's definitely, I think it's a case by case basis, right? So that's going back to me again, saying like, really just plug in, go to every meetup you can. Like if you really want to be a real estate investor, you really got to be ready to be a real estate investor. And it's not something that we can kind of like, I feel like you can't half-ass it, you know?
You gotta do it.
Yeah, you gotta go. Yeah, exactly. You can't be wishy-washy. You gotta like jump in. You gotta be willing to learn. You gotta be willing to take the time. And you know what? Keep your W-2. I hate to say it, but keep your W-2. Don't make any like rash financial decisions around like wanting to quit. You know, we need that to qualify for loans. So, you know, that's why I'm an agent. I still need it right now. But I think getting in the conversation is probably the best fast track I can say. And, you know, like I could talk real estate all day long. So there, it's not unusual for you to be like, you know, can I get your phone number? Can we stay connected? And when you reach out to me, as long as you schedule with me, like I'll chat with you free real estate all day because I love it. I'm going to pop my headphones and I'm going to go for a walk. So, you know, be willing to like connect with people and ask them the hard questions and maybe crack a book open or whatever. So the resources are out there, you know?
That's so true and true that you have to kind of like deal with it case by case. Like, so William and I, we're coaches at Master Passive Income, and every student that comes to us, like we really can't do the same thing with each student.
Oh, man, so everyone's so different.
Everyone's different, so that's it's really case by case. But Marissa, this has been absolutely amazing. And I just feel like, you know, we discussed so many great things, but maybe we missed something. Is there anything that we miss to help our audience become a breakthrough investor just like you?
I want to bring something to the table, but not much is coming to mind right now.
I mean, you've been dropping nuggets straight through.
I'm so grateful. You know, if don't let not having the money discourage you. I've said it, I think, like 4 times already, and we've all talked about it, but all the resources are out there for you. Just be brave, like be brave, take a look at it. And, you know, you'll get somewhere if you're willing to just consume some information and talk to some people. I promise you it really is that easy if you're just willing to take the time. So, and if you have some money, maybe invest in a mentorship program. I do have people that are like, I have $3,000. What can I do with that? And I'm like, invest in education. That's what you should do with that. But, you know, I'm not a
full disclaimer.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Marissa, if our audience want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to stay in touch with you online?
I think Instagram is a good way. So my Instagram is Making Moves on Matcha, no G, MAKIN, Moves on Matcha. And you can follow my remodels and things like that. And then if you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, that's going to be more my agent career, which I didn't talk at all about. But, you know, I'm an agent in California working on Tennessee. So LinkedIn is good. And then Facebook is just not my name, Marissa Contreras. And if you're in Nashville, definitely reach out. We can go to coffee or whatever. I love all of that. So, and hopefully I see you guys at a RubeCon. I'm going to put that on my list. Yes. It sounds like you love it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You've got to come. Yeah. We've got the next one in St. Louis next year, the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. And we'll have some more information for everyone who wants to come. But this has been absolutely awesome, Marissa. You are amazing. Continue doing. Like, if you all are listening, this was Marissa's first podcast recording, and she absolutely crushed it, like literally.
Yeah, we're all over here.
So that's grateful. Awesome. You guys are awesome. I'm so grateful you guys are willing. Thank you so much.
All right, Marissa, you have a blessed day. We'll see you soon.
You too. Bye, everybody.